Today on Real Radio.
Happiness is cool while it lasts. You know, happiness is fun until the ride is over or until the mood changes or until you come home to a crisis. Happiness is gone. It goes out the window. Happiness is designed to fly out the window. Joy never leaves.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series now through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the first four verses of chapter 11 today. The passage contains a verse that is well known to seasoned believers who've been deceived. Paul warns against falling for a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false gospel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a multi-part series called With This Mind.
No wonder why somebody invented the ring and the little candy box that expands and contracts and fits any size. I'll be with thee, I thee wed, for as long as I feel like it. So make sure that ring's got a little cut in the back so we can move it around, try it on different people. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that with us. We're not to be doing that with him. And that's an important thing. Second argument is this, is God's love is a discriminating love. I like that, discriminating. What comes to your mind when you think of discrimination or discriminating? The word's supposed to mean discerning. Discerning, God's discerning. Imagine God's discerning. You say, well, why does he love you like that? He's God. Then don't ask. Just enjoy it. Did you know the Westminster Shorter Catechism of 1647, I think it is, says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Is that your view of what a Christian's supposed to be? Is that your Christianity? To glorify God in your life? You say, well, that's a heavy. It's not a heavy. God will do that part. And to enjoy him forever. Isn't that a cool thought? Think of that. The Bible says when we get to heaven in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Increasing joy. As a Christian, listen, our joy is to be increasing. And what I love about that truth is that it's joy in the face of very, very difficult times that we may be going through. Joy. Listen, joy is not happiness. Happiness is cool while it lasts. You know, happiness is fun until the ride is over or until the mood changes or until you come home to a crisis. Happiness is gone. It goes out the window. Happiness is designed to fly out the window. Joy never leaves. And joy is what you and I lean back on when we get the wind knocked out of us. And it's not a silly, fickle joy. It is a deep, powerful characteristic of God. When you lean on God, you're going to be leaning on the very joy that he has for you. And whatever you're going through, God's love for us is a discriminating love. Now listen to this. I absolutely dig this part. Mark it down. You see in verse 2 where it says, for I have betrothed you to one husband? You need to circle the word betrothed here because some of your modern translations might say the word engaged. That's kind of pathetic. Buy a real Bible. And it's going to have the word betrothed. And it means this. Watch this. It means to, listen, whisper into the ear of someone. Watch. It's to whisper in the ear of someone. It implies that you whisper into the ear of the husband-to-be or the father of the bride. It means to whisper in the ear. It means to, the word betrothed here means to whisper a word of commitment that results in, here's the word, to be sanctified. Sanctified. You're sitting in a chair that's been sanctified for you at this service. That's your chair. Just don't put your name in it, but that's your chair. Okay? Sanctified. This platform is sanctified for the presentation of God's word or worship. Are you with me? Sanctified. This phone is sanctified to tell me when I should stop the service. Right there. That's why it's right there like that. I don't pay much attention to it, but it is sanctified to that. Paul says, I. Notice his life is like the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit does in you. Paul says, I, me, have whispered in the ear of you, Corinthians, and the Father, that you guys should get together with the Son of God. That's my job. What a precious thing. You see now what he's boasting in? Hey, you know, you're not supposed to boast, Paul. You just got done talking in chapter 10 not to boast about yourself. Paul says, okay, well, bear with me in my folly. Here's my folly. I've stood off to the sidelines. Instead of exalting myself like those legalistic nincompoops do, I've stood off to the side, and I guess here's my folly. This is what I boast in. I've been whispering in the ear to you Corinthians, and I've been whispering in the ear of the Father that your relationship is between you and his Son, and I love that. Listen, if a pastor is anything worth his weight in salt, it will be this: you, church, make sure you're connected to Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. The moment you come into the atmosphere or audience or theater of someone who says, follow me and our group and our thing, watch out. You be with people who say, and or a ministry that says, keep your eyes on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And listen, what's very cool about this, what's precious about this, is that the whole setting, listen, I'm going to read this from a book of the culture of the age. First century church, listen. First, the father of the groom made the arrangements for the marriage and paid the bride price, it was called. The timing of the arrangement varied. Sometimes it occurred when both were children, as they were small. And at other times, it was no less than a year before the marriage itself would take place. It was not uncommon for the bride and the groom to meet on their wedding day. The second step was this, which occurred only... You just made me pause for a moment. I just heard some of you gasp. Meet on your wedding day? Why are you shocked about that? You're going to meet Jesus on your wedding day with him. You say, yeah, but I've gotten to know him through the book. This is true. The second step, which occurred only after a year or more, no minimum than a year, had passed. There came the taking of the bride. The bridegroom would go to the home of the bride in order to bring her to his father's house where he was adding an addition. In connection with this step, two things would be noted. First, it was the father of the groom who determined the very timing. Isn't that neat? Jesus said that. Only my father knows when. Second, prior to the groom's leaving to fetch the bride, it was required of him to already have the place prepared for her as their abode. Jesus said in John 14, I go now to prepare a place for you. This was followed by the third step, the wedding ceremony, to which a select group, sometimes just a few, would be invited. Prior to the wedding ceremony, the bride underwent a ritualistic immersion for ritualistic cleansing before the consummation of the marriage. So they took baths or showers before they went into their chambers. Once the marriage was consummated, the fourth step, the marriage feast, which would follow for the last 7 days, many other friends then would be invited to the feast, sometimes a great number. In the marriage of the Lamb, all four of these steps of the Jewish wedding ceremony are evident in Scripture. Isn't that kind of cool? Isn't that neat? The Bible says, isn't it interesting that him whom you've not met, you love? How do you know that? Because we read his love letters. It's called the Bible. And he's jealous for us, not jealous of us, jealous for us. Now, the Bible from Old to New Testament mentions the jealousy of a husband for his wife or his family. Did you know that? Now look, again, let me make it clear. Jealousy from human origins is ugly. Nations go to war over jealousies. And weird things happen. Churches go to war over each other for jealousies. People war over each other for jealousies. I'm not talking about that. Okay, if a husband is jealous of his wife, there's some serious, serious problems there. Either she's doing the wrong stuff or he's just goofy. He's messed up. It's not of God. But the Bible talks about the jealousy. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon the husband of a woman who's been unfaithful, or he discerns that she's been unfaithful, the Bible says in the Old Testament that he's to take her to the priest and it's to be discerned. Did you know that? You say, oh, that's interesting. Watch this. When it comes to human settings, that's as close as we can get to a godly form of jealousy. It falls under this category. If I'm walking down the street and some guy is gawking at my daughter, okay, you with me? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go up to him and say, is there something wrong with you? Can I help you with something? There's something weird going on. Are you with me? That is a close, or the closest we can get to a godly jealousy on human grounds, on human level. If some guy is looking across the room at your wife, and he's kind of drooling out the side of his mouth, you go up to him and say, is there anything I can help you with? I see you're looking at my wife, and you're admiring God's creation. I want to remind you, she belongs to me. You say, well, that's an awful possessive thing to say. Right on. Absolutely. Now, I'm setting you up for something here, so I just want to warn you. That's right. It's a discriminating love, too. You, mister, you'll have to go through me to touch her or my daughters. And that may lead to a little laying on the hands, you know. I'm all for it. It's of God. It's biblical. That is a good thing. Now you listen. There's some women perhaps in this gathering at this service that are saying, I wish I had a man that loved me like that. Well, I know you have a God who loves you like that. Maybe you're a man here today saying, I need to love like that. That's healthy, that's right, that makes sense. This is vital because, listen, we are so sideways in our culture, and this is where we'll have to end this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Now, please listen. Do you remember in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, Solomon's girl, she says, he brought me to his banqueting table. Can you hear her talking about him? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? The Bible. Okay. Song of Solomon. And she says, he brought me to his banqueting table and his banner over me. It's love. See, what is that banner stuff? What is that all about? It means that his joy, his pride and joy, the word in Hebrew means his boasting, his flaunting. We get the word flaunt from that, to flaunt. To flaunt is to look. She says, oh, can you hear her? She's saying this, my translation, I'm so safe in his love. I'm so protected by his love. His banner over me is that he's nuts about me. Do you hear that, everybody? That's how God wants us to be loved. First of all, that's how God loves us. His banner over you is love. Now, having said that, listen to Ephesians 5. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I can hear the brakes slamming on right now. I can't believe he said this. Someone remind that mutt. It's the 21st century. Wives, submit to their husbands. Are you kidding me? I'm not done. For the husband is head of the wife. Oh my gosh, it's getting worse. As also Christ is head of the church. Oh, brother, that's all my husband needed to hear, that he's like Jesus. And right now the husband is saying, honey, listen to this pastor. I like him. This is good stuff. Listen, submit, be submissive to me. And he is savior of the body. Oh, boy. Therefore, verse 24, just as Christ, or the church, is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Stop right there. You submit, I'm the man. You're like the church and I'm like Jesus. Really? Okay then, right on. Okay. Here's the deal. According to this, hubby, drop dead. No, really, I mean drop dead. Because Jesus gave his life for the church. I'm like Jesus in this relationship. Really now? You can just keel on over anytime now. You can give your life for me then, you see? See, we talk all about wives are supposed to submit. Wait a minute, as unto the Lord, and it was the Lord who died for her. And any woman who meets up with a man who is willing to die for her, listen, it's not some glorious moment, by the way, is honey, and a hail of bullets, sweetie, cover that cat, boom, 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 boom. Oh, he laid down his life for me. All right, we could do his service. We could spin it that way. I got that part. We can make that look really cool. Oh, he died. He got in between the gun battle and the... and okay, maybe not. I don't know. Could have been just his combat reaction. Don't know. But here's the deal. Dying for her every day. This is the part, let's be honest. This is the part that's hard and it hurts and it's tough. Because... it's in the day-to-day everything that happens in the day-to-day life of stuff. Honey, can you bring me some coffee? Sure, dear. I'm coming. Right when Kobe was... coffee, please. It's easier to take... boom, 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 boom. In the moment, right? In the moment. Honey, I know the Rams just got started to play in the goats, but can you come pick me up at the hair salon? Are you serious, really? Oh, yes, dear. Dying daily. That we may be, listen, Jesus is jealous for the church. Not of it. For it. And so, listen, we're not done. We're almost done, but we're not done. He said, please be done. Verse 26, that he might sanctify, there's the word, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For we are members of his body and flesh. Look at members of Jesus' body and his flesh and his bones. Verse 31, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, get away from mommy and daddy, and be joined to your wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he wraps it up. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul says, I have espoused you to one husband. We'll have to end here for now. Listen, Christian, you should not be flirting around with false doctrine. Oh, did you read this blog? This guy, you know what? He says, turn it off! Well, I read this book. There's a book out, and this guy says, read the Bible. Think of it. Well, I, you know what? I used to believe But then I heard this radio program, and the guy said, turn it off. It's his desire, in the process of you and I being presented to the Lord, that we stay in his love letters. I want to end with this. True story. I mentioned a week ago, I did a wedding in Pasadena. It was crazy. It was crazy. It was so beautiful. It was in this. Have you ever been to First Baptist Church of Pasadena? Well, if you want to go to France, save yourself the money and go to First Baptist Church of Pasadena. It was an amazing cathedral. And all this is just, and the train of the bride was nuts. It was amazing. The glory of it all, it was amazing. And all of this, preparing and all of the, well, you know what? The groom didn't know something. I knew, the bride-to-be knew, and her parents knew. Nobody else knew. That right in the middle of the service, I was to stop the service in the middle of the vows and introduce this amazing glass tower, this chest of glass and metal. And it was behind the table, and I said, hang on 1 second, and I introduced this thing, and I brought it up, and it's completely stacked full of love letters. Now, these were young kids, 23, 24 years of age, I think they were. Since she was 15 years of age, she's been writing love letters to her future husband and prayers. She wrote her prayers down. I don't know where you are in the world, but I pray for you tonight. And it's like, yeah, just like that. Aww. Everybody was doing that too. And I said, here's the deal. And she spoke about all of this. And little did I know it was you. And this is my heart. And I've kept it for you. And it was just like, what? This is amazing. This should be like required in the law of espousal. It was pretty awesome. And he's like this. Typical guy. He's like. That was a big contribution to it was, wow. But you know what? Listen, he's kept this for us. It's unbroken. And he says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, it's with loving kindness have I drawn you to me. Isn't that great? Isn't he good?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called With This Mind, it's a multi-part series taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. With This Mind is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue in a few weeks. Starting Monday, we're going to present a series of messages in observance of Passion Week. And then Pastor Jack wants to share some biblical insight regarding events that are currently affecting our culture. That all begins on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free, and once you download it, you'll have immediate on-the-go mobile access to real-life TV programs, our daily Real Radio broadcasts. You'll have video of Pastor Jack's weekly teachings, the online Bible, along with its daily reading plan, by the way. You can listen to it and or read it. Pastor Jack's real-life devotionals, tools and resources to help you know God a whole lot better. And you can connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube and a whole lot more. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a free download. Just go to your app store and find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Real easy. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.